Hello and welcome to the Choose FI radio podcast. In today's episode, we're going to explore our takeaways on the Monday episode with Michelle from Making Sense of Sense. Then we talk about how to start a blog, all the secrets revealed, or at least as many as we can unpack in 30 minutes. Welcome to the ultimate crowdsourced personal finance show. This is your Friday roundup.
You're listening to Choose FI radio. The blueprint for financial independence lives here. If you're looking to unlock the secrets to financial independence and early retirement, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and join a community of like-minded people who are getting off the hamster wheel and taking control of their lives in the pursuit of financial independence. Choose FI, your home for financial independence online.
Well, guys, this episode's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to give us a chance to explore some really cool topics, and I'm excited to get into it. And to help me with this, I have my co-host Brad here with me today. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Jonathan, I am doing quite well. We're on spring break here for my kids. We actually just got back from a real quick two-night trip. We actually just kind of went over to the mountains in the western part of Virginia and went to a city called Roanoke, Virginia, and stayed there for two nights. And yeah, just a really, really good time.
Oh, Roanoke, what a wonderful place.
Oh, that's right. It was right near your college, right?
Yeah. Virginia Tech alma mater, not too far away from there. But it really is a great place. Did you guys do anything particularly cool while you're down there?
Yeah. I mean, we went to a couple of breweries, I guess, Ballast Point, which is a pretty famous brewery from out west. They just opened up a huge production facility there. So we went there. We did that hike that you probably know up to like the Roanoke Star. I guess it's like their little famous landmark at the top of this mountain. So that was kind of cool. My kids, we just love getting out in nature and hiking. So that was a good time. And, you know, otherwise just kind of walked around the town, went out for some food, you know, just kind of the normal family stuff. Of course, we stayed at a Starwood hotel it was only like 4,000 points a night. And of course, we made sure there was a pool since my kids are crazy about going in the pool. So yeah, I mean, it was just a nice little relaxing vacation.
It's cool that you guys are starting to enjoy hiking more as a family. I don't think that my 1-year-old is quite there yet, but I love the idea of being able to build a life more around family activities and more around these outdoor activities. And that's what we saw with Michelle in this past week's episode, is she has been able to create this life that allows her and her husband and their dogs, we don't want to leave them out, from doing whatever they want, wherever they want. And it's amazing how nature is such a heavy part of that.
Yeah, it's quite a lifestyle they have going there with that RV. And like she said, it does not appeal to everyone, clearly. So she said it's pretty polarizing, in fact. About like 50% of the people that she meets thinks it's wonderful, and 50% think she's an absolute crazy person. But my words, not hers. But they don't have a home base. Their entire lives are wrapped up really in this RV. And it just sounds like a cool adventure, really 12 months a year.
You know, what's amazing is that a lifestyle by choice. And she shared in this particular episode how much she was making on a monthly basis, which has far exceeded $100,000 a month. But she has found a life that brings happiness to her and to her family. It crosses my mind that you can have that same lifestyle on a heck of a lot less than $100,000 a month.
Oh, there's no question, Jonathan. I mean, they have no fixed expenses. When you think about it, they have no house, they have no mortgage or rent or cars. Obviously, they have the RV, but they have no car payments, no cable bills, none of this stuff that we all just kind of take for granted as part of our background lives. So when she said she has a 95% savings rate, well, it's easy to say, oh, well, you make $1.5 million. I get that. And that is well taken to some degree. But when you just do a back of the envelope calculation, their expenses are probably somewhere around $30,000 to $50,000 a year, even at the absolute most. You back out taxes out of the amount of money that she makes and then take a 95% savings rate. Okay, maybe they spend $50,000 just on this amazing nomadic lifestyle. And that's $4,000 a month. So you sure as heck can do it for less than the $100,000 a month that she makes in gross income.
And you know, one of the things that really crossed my mind is this idea of how to start a blog. You know, there's a couple questions that you get when you tell someone that you're a podcaster or that you're a blogger. And one of those questions is, how do you make money blogging, or how do you make money podcasting? And it's generally the same types of answers that you would provide, but it really does require almost a reframing, because this is a way that people aren't aware of this. It doesn't even cross their mind how money is being made on the internet. And it's valuable to realize that even if you never intend to start a blog. I would like to make the case in this particular episode that starting a blog, or rather a website, is an incredibly valuable skill that everybody should consider as a hobby, even if you never make a dollar from it. And I want to take hopefully a few minutes in this episode to, as we alluded to in the intro, unpack the secrets of how to start a blog and kind of walk through what we figured out over the last year. And I say that with my air quotes. I know you couldn't see that, but I said that with my air quotes in hand, because I think it is a little bit of a caricature that, you know, the person sets up a blog and then the very first article they write is how to write a blog. I think it's become kind of a theme or a meme on Twitter. And there's actually a Fire parody Twitter handle out there right now that pokes fun at it. And I think it's right to do that. Frankly, I'll be honest with you, it was one of the first articles that I wrote when I started a website. And then I realized, you know what, maybe I should just focus on growing my blog first, or trying to understand the skill set a little bit better. And I took it all down, but I get the appeal. And you know, you can understand why people may start with that, especially when you understand some of the affiliate based income that is available. But getting away from that, Brad, I thought maybe it would be valuable. You have three websites. You have benefited greatly from being willing to explore this skill set. It's not something that you got a degree in. Nobody gave you permission to try this, but you've benefited greatly from stretching yourself and trying to build a website online, build a business online. And I think there's real value here to have this conversation and kind of open up this door to maybe someone that's never considered it before.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we can kind of quickly just go through it. Most people don't know where to start. So I think that is really what we're trying to do here. Just give people, okay, here are the handful of things you would need at a very, very low cost. I think that's the biggest thing. The barrier to entry is so incredibly low in terms of dollars and cents. But for me, at least, it was this mental hurdle of just not knowing how to start. And for me, since I've been doing this for 5+ years, it's second nature, essentially, to, oh, go and get a domain name and get hosting and get WordPress installed, right? Like, that sounds easy. I could say that in one or two sentences, essentially. But for someone who's never done that, it's extraordinarily difficult with that, again, that mental hurdle. But really, to take a step back, Jonathan, you said, and kind of being campy there about like unpacking and all the secrets, you know, I mean, that you're
it is clearly my favorite word.
But I think the real key when you're creating a website, and I think this is what Michelle talked about, is, and she said something to the effect of, when you build a course or a blog, try to solve a problem. If someone came to me and asked me like, oh, how does one make money on the internet? It's find that audience. And it can be a tiny, tiny little audience. It doesn't need to be millions of people. But find that audience, connect with them, be authentic, and solve some problem, or tell your story in a way that there is this issue, there is this problem, and you've overcome it, or you're overcoming it, right? While you're telling that story. And then someone can follow along and realize, hey, I have that same issue in my life. I can overcome it too by listening to your advice or using these products that you've used, et cetera. So for me, it comes from a place of authenticity. It's not like, Jonathan, you said, like, it really is kind of ridiculous how many bloggers have created, hey, how to start a blog or how to create a successful blog, when they don't have a successful blog, frankly, right? Like, they're just getting started. They have no experience or expertise there, right? So again, not to beat this to a dead horse, but it's try to solve that problem. And yeah, I mean, Jonathan, like, you really are the perfect person to kind of explain from a real high level, like, okay, you knew nothing essentially 14 months ago when we started ChooseApply, right? You knew absolutely nothing. And I would argue now you are at an expert level at designing websites, creating podcasts, editing podcasts. Like, you can do all of this stuff, and it's just self-taught in 14 months. So yeah, I mean, there's really no better person to just kind of give somebody a high level of, here's what you would do to get started.
And I want to even take a step back and say, let's talk about the why real quick. I think we use the word blog almost a little bit too quickly. And just imagine this, like, people say there's so many more blogs now than there were 5 years ago. It's way more crowded. How much more crowded do you think it's going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now? What we are seeing is the mass decentralization of information going from these coveted TV bureaus and major organizations to basically grassroots information. People are now going to trusted influencers, trusted people that have information in a very specific niche, and they're trying to get that information from them. We don't want to be fed information from mainstream media anymore. That's just across the board. That's what you're seeing. That's why you're seeing people cutting the cord left and right. And that's why you're seeing major companies buying these smaller websites, because they want to have that more grassroots feel. This is the golden opportunity for the digital age. I mean, it is exploding right now. And it's not just blogs. It's not just a person telling their story. Every single business in the country, there is an opportunity to 10x against your competitors if you can figure this out, this idea of a website. Take any local business, plumbing, electrician, any particular handyman or service provider, the talent stack, Brad, that you've talked about earlier, the person that can figure out how to tie a trade skill or a practical local skill to a website, have a solid website, a solid ecosystem, and a way to interact with a larger community than they could ever possibly reach by handing out individual business cards, is going to break the game going into the next 10 years. And that is why this is so important. It goes far beyond whether or not you are a writer and you have tons of words in your head that you want to get out and you're looking for a place to go. Imagine any single hobby that you want to do. I don't care what it is. You want to teach people how to play golf. You want to do woodworking. You want to do bodybuilding, you want to, whatever it is, take that hobby and realize that if you want to 10x it, 20x it, this talent stack, figuring out how to create an online presence right now in 2018 will change your future 5, 6, 7, 10 years from now if you can figure out this skill. And you don't need to get permission from anybody. You don't need to go into school and get a 4-year degree to solve this. You don't need to take out student loans. You can learn most of the stuff for free on YouTube and looking up different articles that answer specific questions. Honestly, the biggest skill set that I learned over the last 14 months was how to ask a better question and then implement those ideas. This is incredibly powerful stuff, and I'm incredibly passionate about it because I can start to see the threads. And that's why even starting a blog, even if it is just to tell your story, because you don't have any good ideas right now, quote unquote, good ideas, you don't have a problem that you can solve, is still valuable because learning how websites work can be translated from a blog to a business incredibly easily.
Jonathan, you said in there, you learned how to ask better questions. Who do you go to? Where do you go on the internet when you have these questions?
Yes. Now there's a great part of this. Part of this is you can start by going onto Google and just doing your basic searches. That will give you that, you know, first level knowledge versus second level knowledge. That'll give you a somewhat of a good answer, but you don't know what you don't know. You don't know what the problems with that answer are. What I found very quickly is that getting involved in a community in any particular aspect or thing that I'm interested in is incredibly valuable. It's a way to 10x yourself past maybe bad results that kind of pop up next to the top because they have been they have SEO behind them or search engine optimization. Maybe they have money promoting them at the top of the field. Like, just because it's an easy, low-hanging fruit answer doesn't mean it's the best answer. That is kind of what I mean by learning to ask a better question and getting closer to the result that will actually help you. And this is actually the perfect place to talk about affiliate marketing and what Michelle has done so well. And honestly, we're going to demo this for you. If you've been listening to the show for any period of time, a large percentage of you trust Brad and my opinion that we have done the work, that we're honest, relatable guys, that we're trying to give you the information that we understand in the most relatable way possible, and that we're pretty transparent about what we're actually doing. And so if I were to tell you that 14 months ago, I started with no understanding of how to build a website, and then I started and I made a ton of mistakes and I figured out those mistakes, and at the end of this 14-month period of time, I have some products that I really benefited from and that have helped us 10X this business, you'll say, well, what are those? I could give you a list of those. And if you implemented them, now you've gotten closer to an answer that can actually benefit you. This is what affiliate marketing is, and this is what it's like to solve the problem. The problem is that it's hard to know how to go from 0 to 100. It's hard to know how to really get started with information that will actually work. And you're able to get this information from a relatable, trusted resource that you have been able to use other information that they provided you and it's benefited you. And so now you're like, what is that next thing that I can benefit from? I should point out that this can be used for good or evil. There are plenty of people that are trying to sell you reverse mortgages and gold investments, and you can kind of point to those. And that is the same thing. I mean, you can go to different terrestrial radio shows. You can go and they'll be selling you glucosamine supplements for your knees and bees honey as the all magic cure. And they sell massive amounts of it. That is the power of this type of marketing. And so the goal was to find someone that is giving you regular good information and you can build on that trust, that relationship that you've developed. So that's just kind of my general thoughts, both on why everybody should be considering a website or a blog, and then why affiliate marketing in particular is so powerful.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think each person needs to figure out what information sources they trust. This transcends websites, certainly. It's kind of a societal issue. What information sources do you trust? So I think things have to pass your own smell test, I guess. So anyway, long story short, I agree with you, Jonathan, that I like to shortcut information when I can, when I find those reliable sources. There are people, like I'm constantly talking about Tom Bilyeu from Impact Theory, or Tim Ferriss, obviously from the 4-Hour Workweek and the Tim Ferriss Show. And if those guys have vetted something, I have a much higher likelihood of saying, okay, that's probably worth a shot. I don't need to do 100 hours of research. So I think there's a way to lean on other people's expertise. So I think that's just kind of a general strategy for life. But let's really get down to the nitty-gritty here. You could talk for hours upon hours about all the little gadgets and gizmos that you use for the website, and it's made it into really a wonderful website that you've spent a ton of time on. But really, for most people out there, they just want to get started. So like, what are, let's say, the 4 or 5 things someone could do today to, okay, here's what you need to just to get the site up and running, started and created, and get that first post out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's perfect, Brad. It's actually painful for me to try to figure out how to condense 14 months worth of experiments into 5 bullet points, but we'll give it a shot. Number one, the brand name. This is critical. Now, it doesn't matter so much if you're literally just experimenting with learning how to use WordPress, but if in any way, shape, or form you want to build a brand around this, build a business around this, and have this thing carry you into the future, the brand name for your site is critical. And I'm going to give you some advice that I originally heard from Seth Godin, which actually I implemented directly in when I was coming up with ChooseFI as a brand name. So keep that in mind. And basically his advice was, there's 2 ways to approach it. You can think about exactly what you want to do. So let's say you have a computer consulting business. You can name your business exactly what you want it to be. So if it were available, computerconsulting.com. And there's some immediate advantages there in that people know obviously exactly what your business is about, but it also kind of limits your options with growth. Your other approach is to take a completely random word and build an entire entity around it. So I'll give you a couple examples of that. Amazon. When I said Amazon, you did not think of a river in South America. You did not think about a jungle. You thought about this major entity which is changing the world, and they built an entire brand around this word. When I say Apple, you probably didn't think of a fruit. Obviously, there is an incredible brand built around that, and there's many, many more examples. ChooseFI was a made-up word. You know, you stick 2 words together, it's a made-up word, but it did imply a certain message that we wanted to get across. So it was that nice balance. This is just kind of how you got to think about it. Now, I'm pretty sure that every single word in the English language is taken up. Like, you just can't get repeat.com. It's just not going to be there. It doesn't matter what it is. Every single word is locked down. But the good news is most 2 and 3 word combinations are still available. And this provides a lot of opportunities for you just to be a little bit creative with it. Don't rush into this. Think about a lot of different ideas. And the last thing I would say on that is, it is very important, and I know this is going to sound silly, but it's very important to get the .com. Don't get suckered into getting the, I don't know all the different options, .bz, I can't even come up with an alternative, Brad. Maybe you can help me there.
But .net or
.net, .org. .com is strong from a ranking perspective. And as you get farther into the weeds, you'll realize this. But if you build an incredible brand around a .net, you will get to some point in time where you realize, oh man, this would be better if I had the .com. And you're going to go look for the .com, but because you've built value around this domain on another one, you are going to find that it's very expensive to go back and get that .com address, if you even can at that point. So it's, if you're starting a brand from scratch, get something that you can get with the .com.
Yeah, I agree. Another one that I kind of stick with is make it easy to spell. People aren't great spellers generally, so don't put multiple vowels together. See how it looks written down also in one fell swoop. So if it's multiple words together, just eyeball it and see what it looks like. I know that sounds silly, but I think it really does matter. And just make it something that is fairly easy to spell. So if you have multiple options you're going with, my bias would always be go with the one that you can spell more easily. So that's just a tiny little thing. Another thing is generally don't put dashes in there. One of my old websites I talked about, I had a drop shipping site. It was firewood-rack.net. So, I mean, it's like, it literally...
You're violating all the rules, Brad.
Every single rule. I bought the thing for like $512 off a site selling website. So, in fairness, like, I didn't come up with this myself. But yeah, that was every violation possible. So, it really is pretty easy. I know in the past, I've used GoDaddy.com to register the domain. There are a bunch of different options, but it's pretty straightforward. The search engine there is good. It usually costs somewhere around $8 a year, $8 to $10, let's say, for a year of having that domain. So ultra, ultra low cost. One little tip I would suggest is somehow or another, there are people lurking, watching what people are searching. So I find that if I'm searching something that I absolutely love and I don't buy it then and come back in a couple hours, it's usually gone. I don't know how that works, but if I'm very strongly considering buying something, I only search for it at that point, basically, and then buy it almost immediately thereafter if it's available. So just a little tip, maybe I'm being paranoid, but I've seen it too many times to mess around with. So at $8 for that first year, there's really no downside to even doing it, even if you a couple of days later decide to, hey, I'm going to use a different domain name. So long story short, I would definitely recommend GoDaddy's worked for me in the past, less than $10 a year, and it's pretty straightforward.
Now we're going to get into a little bit more stuff here, but I want to point out that there are options for free websites. I don't really have anything against them, but if I'm coaching someone on how to do this, I would not direct someone toward a free website. The self-hosted websites that you pay for give you a lot more flexibility, especially if you build a significant brand around it. I'm not saying you can't work. I know people that have very successful businesses, including Alan Donegan, on free websites, but my own personal bias is to having a self-hosted website that gives me the ultimate flexibility with design, with plugins, with how I expand it out. Really, you're only limited by your own creativity as opposed to maybe the infrastructure that the free plan or the free site, like, and I'm thinking in particular of Weebly, Wix, Squarespace, you know, these are a few, and there's some others out there. So if you really wanted just to do this and you want to do it for free, they're out there. I'm not saying that I'm adamant against it, but personally, if I were coaching you on what to do, I think there are significant benefits for having a self-hosted site. So there's some terms that are being thrown around there. What we just talked about is the idea of reserving this location on the internet. So this address that everybody can find you. Now you have to have a place actually host it, reserve the space and host your site. And that's what I was just talking about with those free ones. But another one that's big out there, like if right now, if you were to go to Google and you were to type in how to start a blog, you will have the entire first page will be covered with Bluehost tutorials. I'll be honest with you. I started on Bluehost, and as I got farther and farther in, and in particular, after Brad really started to help me with this, we moved away from it for a couple reasons that I'm going to discuss. Well, I guess I'm going to discuss now. This is the right time. So one of the biggest things that I noticed was that there was just significant lag time. Now I spent maybe that's probably a stretch, 50 some odd hours trying to figure out how to speed up the site and get it completely optimized. I thought it was me. I thought maybe my images were too big. I thought that maybe I wasn't optimized in every particular aspect. And so I looked at literally all these different tutorials and how I can speed it up. But my site still took 4.5, 6 seconds to load. It was criminal, frankly. And Brad, when he would come visit the site to see what I was doing, was like, what is going on? What is wrong with this? This shouldn't be this slow. And I was convinced it was me. Because, you know, everybody uses Bluehost, right? So it must have been my problem. But I did eventually make the switch to a production site. Big Scoots is who we're actually using now. And then immediately all my load times went down to like 1 to 2 seconds. And we pay. So with Bluehost, I was getting it for like $4 a month, something like that. With Big Scoots, I'm paying $20 a month. And that's what Chooseify is hosted on right now. And my load times are in between 1 and 2 seconds. But I'll be honest with you, it's even more than that. You know, that is from the visitor's perspective. And the logic being that when someone comes to visit your site, you only have maybe 2 to 3 seconds to capture their attention. If your site takes 5 seconds to load, they've already said bye-bye and moved on. I mean, I'm sorry, this is 2018. People are expecting fast load times. But the other aspect, and this is the more insidious part, is that over the last 14 months, I have made literally hundreds of thousands of individual changes to ChooseFI, most of which have required some form of a save or an update. And what I found with Bluehost is that every single time I press save, I was having to wait 3 to 4 seconds in order for that to update to make my next change. That is crazy. I mean, as you're trying to get better and develop this skill set, you do not want to be sitting there. And what I found out after I researched it farther is that a lot of these people that had the Bluehost, they've moved on from Bluehost to something else. And Bluehost is amazing, offer this incredibly low price of $2 to $4 a month, but their service has just gone in the tank over the last 1 to 2 years. And when I got inside the industry a little bit more and I actually started to meet different people that were creating blogs, I found that probably if you're starting out, the best entry level site out there that still has high quality and gives you the best of both worlds, so low cost of entry point and fast load times, is SiteGround. And I think it's relatively competitive in between $4 to $8 a month, but you get much faster load times. And so this, if I were starting on day one, I would use SiteGround. And so I reached out to them and actually asked, hey, can I be an affiliate for your program? So I've got the link for them down in the bottom, but like, this is what you uncover. And then honestly, as soon as you're starting to make money with your site, and as soon as you're viewing this as a legitimate form of income, as soon as you can, I would up the ante, either get a higher version, a better version of SiteGround, and they have different tiers that they can level you into. Or Big Scoots is amazing. And Brad introduced me to this, but my mind has been blown, and I will always be with Big Scoots.
Yeah, their customer service is just outlandishly good. So yeah, I've been with them for a while. And just to clarify here, so the domain name that you'd get at GoDaddy, that's reserving your spot on the internet, like Jonathan said. But then the hosting is just to actually store the data that makes up your website. So those are really the two fundamental pillars of just creating a website and having it exist in the world. So the data has to exist somewhere, and it basically exists on the computers or the servers at these hosting companies, right? So Bluehost or Big Scoots or SiteGround or one of many, many different other options that exist. So just that's kind of conceptually how to think about this. And that leads to the number of visitors that you can have per hour, the site speed, as Jonathan said, in great detail. So the more money that you spend, basically the faster and more optimized the website's going to work. But Jonathan, to your point, you can certainly, if someone was getting started and they wanted to do a Bluehost hosting for $4 a month, just to kind of see if this works for them, certainly not the worst thing in the world. But yeah, they can pretty easily upgrade to something like SiteGround for just a few dollars more per month.
Now, once you have your site in place, now you start to talk about what is it actually going to look like. And this is where the words themes or page builders come into play. I use a combination of both. One of the things that is very important to do, especially if you're starting now, is to differentiate yourself from the crowd. How are you going to break through the noise? So in some cases, the podcast does that for us. In other cases, like, I have gone to town on making ChooseFI as inviting as possible. You know, the word, I guess, behind the scenes would be sticky. When you come, do you want to hang out, or do you want to get out of there as quick as possible? Because you can't figure out where anything is. Everything's disorganized. It's not fun to hang on the site. And so you want to create, I guess Brad and I have started to use the word in our minds, ecosystem. Is this a place where when you get there, it's easy to find what you're looking for, and you want to binge read all the content, you want to read through it. And I'll be honest with you, this is not something you get right on day one. This takes constant iteration. And it took me, I don't know, I would say literally I'm still working on this. We'll always be working on this. Brad, it was my last redesign that I think you finally checked off on and said, yes, this is the one.
Yeah, the new redesign of ChooseFI.com is fantastic. Yeah, I mean, before that, it was nice and I thought it certainly did the trick. But yeah, this last one, I think we'll have this for quite some time.
So when you have SiteGround set up for your hosting, you are then going to install a platform. And I highly recommend WordPress for a million different reasons, which honestly, it would take me a lot longer than this episode to go through. But this is a site that basically 30% of all the websites on the internet are built on right now. A lot of the new websites are being built on this. It is constantly being iterated. It's just a fantastic platform to build your brand on. And once you have that in place, you have to figure out, you have to select a theme. There are tons of free themes that you can choose from. As soon as you decide, again, that this is a production, that this is going to be a form of income, that this is something that you're serious about, you're probably going to want to end up getting a paid theme. So something that's constantly being updated. It's more secure. It gives you more flexibility. It gives you more customization options. I use GeneratePress. That has been one that for me will almost allow it to get out of the way. It's very lightweight. It allows you to basically strip it away. And then I actually use what's called a page builder. I know, again, there's a lot of verbiage coming at you, but these are just ideas to plant seeds. You can look into each one of these at some point when the time is right. GeneratePress is the theme that ChooseFI is built on. And then once I use GeneratePress, I carve away all the extra stuff and I go almost immediately to a page builder. A page builder allows you to build beautiful home pages without knowing how to code. I should state for the record, I still, to this point, have no idea how to code. I think that's something that actually scares people away from building websites. But this is actually the best time you could ever possibly imagine to be considering building a website, because you no longer need to have any ability to code whatsoever. It is incredible. And so the page builder that I use is Elementor. Guess what? Both of those do have affiliate programs, and I will have a link in the show notes. I'm just, again, showing you this is kind of how it works. I went to great lengths to figure out. I just spent literally 20, 30, 40 hours researching different options, and I made a selection. I'm incredibly happy about it. I want to tell everybody I know about, you know, how it worked, and obviously the results that Chooseify has seen kind of speak for themselves. And you're thinking, wow, okay, well, maybe I should go take a look at that. That is affiliate marketing. This is what win-win relationships are all about. You're solving a problem. The problem is, how do I make this process of going from knowing nothing about websites to having something that is actively being able to become a business as quickly as possible? This is what it looks like.
And it's important to remember that you don't need to do that on day one. We're trying to keep this simple here. And what I would say is, many successful sites, like Carl from 1500 Days, actually, he had the default theme from WordPress on his site for years and probably got millions of page views in that time. So he spent $0 and 0 cents on his theme. Now, that's not, and now if you talk to him, he would say, oh, I always wanted to update it, but it didn't happen because he was writing articles. He was creating content. He was telling his story. He was doing the important stuff. Eventually he's changed it subsequently, but that was years and years and years. So please don't get confused with this Elementor and page builder and lightweight and getting out of the way and all this stuff. Like, that confuses me, frankly, but
sorry, Brad.
Yeah, no worries. And I mean, I guess in the grand scheme of things, know what I'm doing here, but this is like a 30-second install to get that theme. So from your host, most of them have one click WordPress installs, and you will literally have that default theme right there. You could write your first article and publish it within minutes. So it can be that easy. That's what's great about this.
All right. So once you get through all of that, and I apologize, I kind of want to give you all the complexity and at the same time make it simple. That's a very difficult line to kind of toe the line on. But the next piece of this would be, and this is almost on day one, lock down your social media accounts. Like, for instance, if I were to have waited on locking down the social media accounts for ChooseFI until I was ready for each additional social media account, it might not be there. Someone might have grabbed it. And companies just don't really give you recourse to go reclaim your stuff. It's a very difficult process to go through. So as soon as you have a brand name that you're excited about, see whether or not you can get that exact name on all of your different platforms. So like Facebook, Facebook groups, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, you know, I don't even care. You never have to use it. But the idea is that you really want to build a presence around this idea. Lock it down in all these different places. That way you have the option later. You don't want to have this massive brand go back and find out that someone has already grabbed it, trying to swoop in on the traffic that you've collected. That's just a reality. So I just think that almost should be baked into your steps. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about is growing your list, your email list. Now, what I love about websites, and I'm almost going to refer to it as websites as opposed to a blog, is that the website is uniquely yours. So if you have a really large Facebook group, you have a really large Pinterest following, you have a really large YouTube following, you may think it's yours, but it's not really yours. You're benefiting from this other platform. If it were to go away, all that information goes away. There's people that invested heavily in Divine, which was like these 30-second videos that you could do, and then it just disappeared. And all of that traffic that you had engaged just went along right along with it. The website is uniquely yours. People being able to come there, and that's your way to connect people from one platform to another. So someone that finds you on YouTube can then come to your WordPress site. Someone that's now on your website, you can now connect to one of your other groups. It is the center of the universe that you're trying to build. And the next piece of that is an email list. At the end of the day, the email list is going to always be the most effective way that you have to reach your audience. It's not that you have to use it every single day, and you really shouldn't. Nobody wants to get multiple emails a week from you. I'm sorry. They're not that interested in what you have to say. But you may be reaching out on a once a week or once a month basis, that sort of thing, to let them know, you know, what's going on in this little universe that you're creating is very valuable. And you want to try to get something in place very, very early on, because this is not something that you want to get 10 years down the road when you actually have significant traffic and try to build. you always want to make some steps to get started early. So there's a couple of providers, which I'm really not going to go into detail. The two that really come to mind are MailChimp, which offers like free in the door up through like 1,000 people, and ConvertKit, which is more of a production email system. We use ConvertKit. Brad, I think it's like, what is it, between $20 and $30 a month, but it gives you way more flexibility with how people find your content and what content you send out to them. We can explain that at another time. Honestly, this is kind of one of those feeler episodes to see, is this something that's helpful that you're benefiting from? Let us know if you enjoy this type of content and we can carve some more out at another time. My point with that being, you need to be considering, what does it look like to start a list? And there's one extra point that I can tie onto this, and I'll let Brad explain it because I know he's very familiar with it as well, is this idea of a freemium. When people come to your site, they may want to get on your list just to get your newsletter, just to get updates. That's great. And I think that that is a good idea, but I don't think it's always sufficient. I think that over time, what we've seen is that in order to get someone to take action and sign up for your list, you need to be providing some sort of value back. Otherwise, there's no urgency. They can always do it another time, and they never do. So most websites, I mean, literally across the board, you can see a million different examples of this, which actually should be encouraging because you don't need to have the perfect example. You just need to come up with something, is this idea of a freemium. Hey, I will give you this free item, this free PDF, this free resource, this free video, this free tutorial, and I'll send it to you by email if you sign up for the list. That is just a tried and true method, and you can always get better with it. In fact, A-B testing is something that's highly, highly encouraged, but that is kind of how you pair this idea of building a list and then incentivizing someone that has enjoyed your content to check it out further.
Yeah. I mean, Jonathan, you explained it pretty well there, so I'm not sure I need to do anything more, but I mean, I guess, like you said, it's just adding value. Nobody's going to come to your website and just hand over their email address for no reason. You have to provide something of value, whether it's insider information that you only talk about via email, your personal story, some, like we do the Choosify Vault. And before that, it used to be get access to our Facebook group by signing up for our email list. So, you know, you just provide something of value. And yeah, that email list is a great way to keep in touch with people. So I think it's definitely important. So yeah, I mean, if I could just summarize here from like the ultra, ultra high level, it's just, I think you could do basically all of this in under an hour if you really just wanted to get started. So you go to GoDaddy, you research a domain, you buy it, you go to one of those hosting companies that we talked about, you could do it ultra cheap for under $4 a month at Bluehost, and you just link up your domain to that hosting. Really, really easy to do. One click install for WordPress. Let's say, for argument's sake, you decided to leave just the default theme, and then you head over to social media, you quickly sign up for each of the accounts and the name that you need, that you want to reserve, that's tied to your domain, and you sign up for an email list software. I think, like Jonathan said, MailChimp is free. It used to be up to 2,000 people. I'm not sure where it is now. So it's going to take you a pretty long time to get up to 2,000 email addresses, especially if you're just starting out. So if you wanted to do this as inexpensively as possible, I think you could do this for, yeah, maybe under $13, let's say, by my estimation, $8 for the domain name, $4 or $5 for the hosting for that first month.
Oh, the PO box is sneaky too. On the emails, they're going to, you got to list your address. I remember when I was setting up my email address, it's a legal thing. You have to put your address at the bottom of any sort of email thing that you have set up. And I was like, well, I don't really want to put my address, my home address, on the bottom of all these emails. So the PO box would be an extra thing with the email.
Oh, that's a good point. I think a lot of people kind of gloss over that, but yeah, I think a PO box at my local post office was like $30 a year. So let's say under $3 a month, if you want to do it that way. So we're up to maybe $40 to get started if you wanted to do that PO box thing. So yeah, I mean, this is really pretty straightforward. And then of course, like Jonathan said, when you get serious about this, it's still very inexpensive. I mean, we use a great email service provider, and it's ConvertKit, and they are fairly inexpensive in the grand scheme of things. Obviously, as your list grows, the price goes up. But at that point, you probably have a thriving business that you can afford to pay a couple $100 a year or whatever it may be for the email list. You can afford to buy Elementor and the other themes that Jonathan's bought for Choosify. It's tiny money. It's just, do you want to do that from day one? You may. And I would not fault you at all. I think we did that for Choose a Vibe because we had plans for it. We hoped that it could grow into a real site that brought value to people. So for us, it made sense to invest just this tiny little bit of money. I mean, we're still talking probably under $100 or under $200. It's nothing major. But I think that's kind of how you want to approach it. So you can do it for as little as under $20 or go all out. And I say that kind of jokingly, for under maybe $200. So like Jonathan said, I think this is a kind of tutorial that we could provide maybe on our website, on a future podcast, if you guys think it's valuable, or maybe on this new YouTube channel, Jonathan, that you're starting up, right?
ChooseFI.tv. See, I broke my own rule with the .tv there, but it's basically acting as a redirect. And if you go to ChooseFI.tv, it will take you to our YouTube channel where, yeah, I'll try to start posting some of these tutorials. Also, if you check out the show links for today's episode, I will put every single resource that we mentioned, plus some others that we didn't. Some of them free and some of them are paid. But if you are interested in more information on any of those, they will all be in the show notes for today's episode. And Brad, you know, this is why I enjoy the episode with Michelle so much, because this is practically what it looks like when you can solve problems that people are dealing with, when you can make it easier to find good, authentic, accurate information. You can get everything you need in life by helping someone else get exactly what they want. And I mean, that is what Michelle has been doing for the last 5 or 6 years. And I think when it comes to how to make money blogging, it's no surprise that she has truly crushed the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the understatement of the century, right? She made $1.5 million last year. I mean, that is just a mind-spinning amount of money. And I think while we're talking about growing blogs and growing businesses, of course, everyone out there hearing this knows that type of success is extraordinarily difficult to reach. So I think that shouldn't necessarily be your goal, but I think you can take a lot of lessons from Michelle. And she talked about having that consistency, right? So she's posted Monday and Wednesday, basically since the inception of her blog, for 5+ years. So there's a lot of value to that. I think there's consistency with this podcast, right, Jonathan? You and I, as opposed to taking like a Tim Ferriss type approach where I never know when the heck he's going to put out a new show, but people know come Monday and Friday morning, you always have ChooseFI. It just kind of gets into your routine. And I'm sure for Michelle's readers, that gets into their routine on Monday and Wednesday. I think her getting 2 months ahead of time and not having to scramble and produce some subpar content really makes a difference. So I think those kind of things, having that consistency, and of course, that's not going to get you to $1.5 million. But Laura and I, my wife and I, were talking about this yesterday, like on our car ride home, and we're saying, like, how many people, I wonder how many blogs are out there that have been blogging for 6+ years, basically 100 posts per year, twice a week on this schedule, and don't have some degree of success. I don't have an answer for you, obviously, but I would be absolutely fascinated to find out what the answer to that is. Like, how many people are toiling away 2 times a week, 52 weeks a year for 6+ years and have not become successful on some level? I think it's probably pretty rare. So I think you just learn a ton of things, even if it's from failure or missteps over that time. And I'm sure Michelle had periods where it wasn't just up, 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 right? Like, she talked about social media and she tested a whole bunch of things and determined what was good for her business, right? So it sounds like Twitter isn't a real high value thing for her as far as growing her business, but she says it does help her connect with other blog owners and companies and such. So there is some value there, but I suspect she doesn't spend a dozen hours a week on Twitter, but she found that out by testing, right? So was that a failure that she spent all that time on Twitter testing it? No, of course not. She learned what it's good for, and now she does it in an efficient manner. So I think there's lots of things you can pick up over a 5+ year blogging career that's going to help you get to some degree of success. And like I said on the podcast, Michelle is really this unbelievably impressive outlier, and she's done it through a lot of hard work. I know she says she's not analytical, and I think that means she's just not sitting there poring over every single number and split testing everything to get it one half of 1% better. She's using her intuition and she's spending time where it makes sense resource-wise, right? She determined very early that Pinterest was this real potential goldmine for her and that nobody had gone there because everybody says, right, that elusive they said personal finance doesn't work on Pinterest. Well, Michelle proved otherwise because she gets a whole heck of a lot of traffic from Pinterest. And I can guarantee you she's made a significant amount of money just because she said, okay, I disagree with that common thinking and I'm going to go for this and I'm going to spend some time and learn about it and see if it makes sense. And if she had put in 50 hours of research and time and realized, okay, I was wrong. Well, again, is that a failure? No, it's not, in my opinion, because she made her best educated guess and she went with it. Obviously, it worked out quite well for her. It wasn't a failure. It was a spectacular success. But I think that's how I approach business is everything doesn't have to be that purely analytical thing. It's just use your intuition and test quickly and figure out if it makes sense for you. So I think there are a lot of takeaways from Michelle's story for anyone out there looking to start a business.
And Brad, those tertiary skills are so valuable as well. You know, we had this, we almost glossed right over that, but just by the fact that you're willing to try this and to build the skill set, every single business that succeeds going into the future will likely have to have some form of online presence. There are implications far beyond the owner of that site. There are all sorts of services that are needed to grow things. I am simply incapable past a certain point. I have a certain amount of bandwidth and past that point, there's just not much else I can add to ChooseFI. If we really want to grow it, we need to bring on team members to help us do this. And that's what we did. And so if you build this skill set, if you have this blog, even if it hasn't become a $1 million blog, if you have built the skill set and can demo that, that then becomes your resume. This what have you built concept is so valuable and it opens up doors for you that you would never have been able to imagine otherwise. Bobby Hoyt, Millennial Money Man, he has a course where he teaches people to do Facebook advertising. And so they basically help small businesses get their businesses in front of people on Facebook. Facebook has like 2 billion people on it on a regular basis. And small businesses are trying to get that information in front of those individuals. That is a skill set that you could develop that you get into because you initially started by starting a blog. Creating a course is obviously something. Teaching a skill set is obviously something. Being able to be a designer, have a good visual eye. You take someone that has great content, but they have a horrible interface. It's just not fun. You go there, you're hanging out, you see the content's good, but frankly, you just want to get away because it just doesn't look great. People that can come in with that visual element can add so much to that, and there is room. And the cool thing is all these things that I just mentioned, they do not tie you to any specific geographic location. And so I think the reason that this is so attractive to people in the FI community is what are you going to do post-FI? While it could be nothing, you could truly be retired, you could truly not do anything. I suspect that for many people in their 30s and early 40s, they're not going to be satisfied with that answer. They're going to be looking for something. And this isn't what you have to do, but it could be a viable option. All right, guys, we used up all of our time today, and it's because this is something that it's important to talk about. And I didn't want to give it a full Monday show, but I wanted to take you behind the scenes on kind of our general thought process and how we view building businesses online in this kind of ecosystem of FI. And I think hopefully this was a valuable episode. Again, let us know. Give us your feedback on this. Was this value added? Would you like more of this type of content? We can certainly figure out a way to get that to you. We have burned through all of our time bringing in voicemails, so I have saved all of them. We'll be playing tons of them next week. Super excited about it. So much great content to play for you. But unfortunately, that is going to bring us to a close for this episode. Now, as you guys know, we like to finish every episode by doing a drawing for a copy of a book that we have found useful. And we have 3 books that we do. We have J.L. Collins' book, The Simple Path to Wealth, Dominic Cortuccio's book, Design Your Future, and Vincent Puglisi's book, Freelance to Freedom. If you want to enter that drawing, all you need to do, just go to chooseify.com/iTunes. Follow the written instructions there and leave us a short written review and then just send us an email to feedback@chooseify.com letting us know that you left the review and what screen name you left it under. And we give away 1 book for every 5 written reviews that we get. And then we announce the winner on the Friday roundup. And Brad, how many winners do we have today?
All right, Jonathan, we have 2 winners today. And the first winner is Jesse. And Jesse said, "This is one of those podcasts that is packed with valuable content from start to finish. If you are new to FI, a seasoned pro, or just learning about it for the first time like me, ChooseFI has something for you. I found this podcast a month ago, and I'm soaking in as much as I can while exploring the tips and resources mentioned in the episodes. Being an educator, episode 13 about the advantages of the 457B account got me hooked. And after listening to a few more episodes, I quickly realized that was just a small piece of what FI has to offer me. We are now trying to get a wide view of our situation so that we can decide which strategies to implement. Keep up the great podcast, guys. All right, Jonathan, and our next winner is Kelly.
Kelly says, top-notch podcast. Since I started listening to Financial Podcast a few years ago, I have been constantly searching for podcasts that will stand the test of time. I have listened to many. However, there is really just a short list of podcasts that I remain subscribed to. And Choose FI makes that list along with Stacking Benjamins. Go, Joe! I find that Choose FI offers a lot of variety and insight into the world of FIRE. I like how two regular guys share their journey to FI. Keep up the good work so I can continue to listen to Choose FI while running, walking, and driving. Thank you so much. And I love this idea too. You know, by expanding it outside of the 4% rule and talking about life optimization and everything that that entails, years and years of content, of awesome content, is coming your way. If you got value from this episode, if you've been getting value from the episodes up to this point, take 1 second, press the subscribe button on the platform you're listening to this on. It just lets the providers know that you're enjoying the content and you want to be here when we produce additional episodes. All right, my friends, the fire is spreading. We'll see you next time as we continue to go down the road less traveled.
You've been listening to Choose FI Radio Podcast, where we help middle-class America build wealth, one life hack at a time.